You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, it is Monday, start of another week. Worst day of the week, I know, but we get you through it A-OK right here on the Locked On Kings podcast, your hub for Sacramento Kings offseason coverage, training camp previews, and preseason, and the start of the regular season just a couple of months away. Hello, everybody. My name is Matt George. Welcome back to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am a on-air host and multimedia journalist at Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. For many of you that are loyal listeners that listen all the time, hope you had yourselves a fantastic weekend. Hope you enjoyed last week's podcast and hope you're geared up and ready for another week of fantastic stuff. For those who are new to the podcast and are in search of a Sacramento Kings related podcast to call their home for Kings Talk, you have found the right one. Welcome in. Thank you so much for choosing to listen to Locked On Kings and choosing to expand your Sacramento Kings fanmanship to this very podcast network. We promise we will fill you in and make you just as much a part of the show as I am or any other of our listeners are. You can interact with me at any time at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com if you want to get in direct contact with me. You can also interact with all the other phenomenal Locked On Kings listeners on Twitter, on social media, Facebook. There's such a great community in regards to this podcast. I'm so thankful to each and every one of you who choose to use this podcast as a platform to encourage Kings-related discussion and NBA-related sports talk in a healthy and positive and fun manner. I'm very blessed to be able to do this and call this podcast my home. You might notice, for those of you that listen to me all the time, the voice is a little bit gravelier today. That's because I was stupid and I went out, I wasn't stupid for going out on Sunday to the Oakland A's game against the Houston Astros, but I was stupid for someone that works in the radio industry to scream my bloody head off and lose my voice by like the fourth or fifth inning. I'm a diehard Oakland A's fan. I know some of you listening are as well. The Oakland A's being in the playoff hunt in the first place race with the Houston Astros. That was a fun and exciting environment there. The Oakland A's environment really reminds me a lot of the Sacramento Kings environment, kind of a ragtag underdog type style where the fans are involved and they get loud when they are there in bunches. Of course, I don't hesitate to say that the Sacramento Kings fans do a much better job at showing up to games consistently, no matter how good the team is, than the Oakland A's fans do. But not me. You'll find me commuting to the Bay Area as much as I can. This isn't an Oakland A's podcast, although I'd love to talk Oakland A's baseball with you on your own time if you ever want to, at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. This is a Kings podcast, and we're going to talk some Kings stuff today. I'm going to jump into Marvin Bagley's comments about MVP or him being an MVP. We're going to dive deep into head coach Dave Joerger. I'm going to replay for you James Hamm's comments on Dave Joerger as the head coach of this Kings team going forward, and I'm going to reintroduce you a little bit to Dave Joerger, because I think many fans have become complacent, and we've seen what Joerger has done really over the past season and a half, or even past full two seasons at the helm of the Kings, and they've forgotten really what his pedigree is and how talented of a head coach he is, and how he might potentially still be the right guy for this team going forward. So I'm going to reintroduce him to you a little bit, share a little bit of his background, also pose a bit of a question about him to you. Going to be doing that in a second. And then also at the very end of the show, have some things to talk to you about NBA 2K. Also have the Blind Optimist Challenge, which I know I've brought up before. I'm going to explain to you a little bit more in detail about what that's going to be beginning in October for you KHDK listeners as well. So all of that, we're going to slam into this podcast here. So buckle up and get ready. Let's go and begin with the Marvin Bagley comments. Now, I've seen people see this, and for some reason, this is getting a lot of the same reaction that Vlade Divac's Super Team But Young comments got. Marvin Bagley was asked, and he and all the rookies showed up for their little rookie photo shoot that they do every single year, and the rookies were asked, like, who's your MVP? Who do you think the MVP is? Just ask generic, fun, NBA-related questions. And Marvin Bagley took a little bit of a different route, and I appreciate the route that he took as the number two pick in the NBA draft. And it's comments that are being broken down and surgically taken apart and analyzed way too much. So let's go over these comments really quick. So Marvin Bagley was asked who he thought would be the MVP next year. And he said, quote, "I would say myself, because that's the type of confidence I have. Not a lot of rookies do it, obviously, but if your dreams and goals are high, then you don't have nothing to, or excuse me, if your dreams and goals aren't high, then you don't have nothing to work for. So I would say myself." What I take away from that, and this is all you need to take away from that, is that Marvin Bagley is trying to build confidence in himself for himself. He's not trying to elevate himself and become a headline so that people will talk about him and pay more attention to him. Marvin Bagley is putting pressure and expectation on himself here in this statement. And what does that suggest? That suggests drive. That suggests desire. That's what you want in any rookie or any player that is expected to be successful. Every single NBA player in the history of the NBA that comes into the NBA thinks that they can and will be the best. Because if you don't think that way, you have no shot of making it to the NBA, let alone in the NBA. I'm very happy with Marvin Bagley putting that pressure on himself, taking that challenge on, and it's really him challenging himself more than expectations of others. I don't think anybody in the NBA, other than Marvin Bagley, looks at Marvin Bagley and says, "You can be the MVP next year." I don't think anybody does. So Marvin Bagley putting that pressure on himself, putting those expectations on himself, doesn't set himself up for failure necessarily, which is the pessimist view. He's setting himself up to reach an eventual goal and to live up to his own expectations that he has for himself. It's those expectations and that drive that is what made him as dominant as he was in college and is what made him a number two pick in an NBA draft. So don't surgically break down these comments and roll your eyes and suggest that Marvin Bagley thinks that he truly is an MVP and he's going to be the MVP this year and we should all expect him to be the MVP. No, that's not what is happening here. So really ignore anybody that says that or any article that writes that Marvin Bagley is cocky or arrogant or believes that he's going to be the MVP and everybody should pay attention. That's not what's happening here. It is a rookie. It is a young man with high expectations, dreams, and aspirations, putting pressure and putting... He's putting pressure on himself. He's putting the weight on his shoulders to live up to his own expectations and the hype that he's created for himself. He believes he can be the best player in the NBA, and as long as you believe it, it can actually happen. If he didn't believe he could be the best player in the NBA, I'd be concerned, seeing as how the Kings took him with the number two overall pick in the 2018 NBA draft. So again, look at those comments, read them, understand them for what they are. Don't dive in too deeply. I promise you, it's not that big of a deal as some are making it out to be. When the Sacramento Kings hired head coach Dave Joerger before the 2016-2017 NBA season, fans were elated and excited because Dave Joerger was the Kings' guy. As soon as they heard that Dave Joerger was available, the Kings locked him up, signed him immediately. Then a couple years later, they extended his contract, committing to him. And fans were not turned off by it, but seemingly this last season, with the addition of all these young players and the challenge of wanting to win as many games as possible and developing the young players the right way, but getting them enough minutes to show what they could do, some have seemed to have lost faith in different elements of Dave Joerger. And I can honestly include myself in that conversation. I went on the NBA Locked On NBA podcast and shared my thoughts on how I thought maybe Joerger could be stubborn in different ways at times. But that doesn't mean I have lost confidence in Dave Joerger's ability as a head coach and him being the right guy for this Kings team right now. The reality is, as much as we want to put pressure on this Kings team to perform this year and start to turn things around and start to grow, there still is development that needs to be done, and you are hard-pressed to find a better head coach with development skills and a development history and pedigree than what head coach Dave Joerger has. I'm going to reintroduce you to Dave Joerger really and his entire background. But before we get to that, James Hamm from NBA Insider, Sacramento Kings Insider for NBC California and Bay Area, he appeared on the Locked On Kings podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he shared some great stuff. I encourage you to check out that entire interview if you haven't listened to it. But I asked him about head coach Dave Joerger and the Kings' ability to run the offense and if Dave Joerger was the right guy to adapt his system to the strengths of his young players. players that he now has at his core. You could argue that his core last year, even with young guys like De'Aaron Fox and Bogdan Bogdanovic and Buddy Hield, guys that you have excitement for and promise for the future, you could argue that his core last year was Garrett Temple and Kosta Koufos and Zach Randolph. That was his group. That was his core. He knew what he had there, and that's what he used consistently. So here's what James Hamm had to say about Dave Joerger, his ability to adapt his system, and how much confidence James has in Joerger going forward.
You know, to be honest with you, Dave Joerger has made his career with the grit and grind at the NBA level. But before the NBA level, Dave Joerger had mix and match rosters all over the place as he worked his way up through the NBA's minor league system or basketball's minor league system, playing in the CBA, playing all over the place, coaching all over the place. And so for me, I think to pigeonhole Dave Joerger as just this grit and grind guy, he was only the head coach in Memphis for 3 years. And he, of course, had an established veteran team with players who could not get up and down the court in Zebo and Marc Gasol. So I kind of feel like we haven't seen what Dave Joerger can do, and I want to see what he can do with all the pieces that the Kings have. And I'm not sure that they have enough pieces as of right now, but I certainly want to see what he can do trying to push a tempo. I could hear him yelling and screaming all last season, run, get out and run, please run, go faster. This year, there's not going to be any excuse.
Again, if you haven't listened to that full interview, you absolutely can right now. Just after this podcast is done, go back a couple of weeks and you will find James Hamm's Inside Information is the name of that podcast. You can listen to the full-length interview that he did. A lot of great stuff that James provided, a lot of great perspective that he provided, including some moves that the Kings tried or may not have tried to make on draft night. Great stuff there. I encourage you to check that out. But I love what James said in this entire piece, and it was relatively eye-opening for me because James was one of the first few people, analysts, not necessarily people that worked for the team itself, but analysts that could look at Dave Joerger and say, you know, I have confidence in his ability to do what he does, and people judging him based off of his recent history. If you're going to look at that and break that down, aka if you're going to look at what he's done with the Kings rotations over the last two seasons and even the last three seasons with the Memphis Grizzlies, you have to look at his full package, his full coaching career. So I thought, let's run through and go through the full career of Dave Joerger. Let me reintroduce to you this guy that the Sacramento Kings went out and hired, why he was a right fit then, and why he could be a right fit right now. Continuing with James Hamm's thought, he said, you know, we judge Joerger based off of the fact that he's had success only with teams that were bigs or had big men on it. So you look at, he started his career, essentially he's had 5 full years of NBA head coaching experience. The last two years with the Sacramento Kings and the 3 years that he had with the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, what do all 5 of those teams have in common? Their best player in those seasons was, or their most consistent player in those seasons was, a big man. The 3 years with the Memphis Grizzlies, the best players on that team were Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph. His first year with the Sacramento Kings, his best player was DeMarcus Cousins. And then last year with the Sacramento Kings, arguably his best and most consistent player was Zach Randolph. Now, I know a lot of Kings fans and a lot of analysts will break down Zach Randolph's game and go, you know, he really wasn't that good for the Kings last season. And that's because he wasn't. I don't think he's the right fit for this team. But in terms of going out and a guy that could get you buckets consistently, Zebo was the guy that Dave Joerger could rely on the most out of anybody else on his roster, and that just was the reality. Zebo was the most consistent scorer for the Kings that, quite frankly, yes, he hurt the Kings defensively when he was on the floor, but how many games would the Kings have been blown out by 20-plus or more in the first quarter if Zach Randolph was not in the starting lineup? Dave Joerger knew what he had in Zach Randolph because he spent a number of years working with Zach Randolph in Memphis. So every single one of the 5 years of Dave Joerger's NBA head coaching career, he has had a dominant scoring big man, at least one, to build his core around. So you could use that against him saying, well, he can't be successful without a big, right? That's not necessarily the case. But you're also judging him based off of, well, he can't be successful with a group of young guns because we haven't seen him do it before. That's because he hasn't had to do it before because he's been with teams that have had good, solid, big man pieces. But If you go back to his years before he was a head coach and before he was with the Memphis Grizzlies, you can look at and see the success that he had with a plethora of talent that includes guards, that includes wings, and big men. Dave Yeager has had a lot of success throughout his coaching career. 3 years as a head coach in Memphis, like I said, 2 years as a head coach in the Sacramento Kings, but he spent 9 total years in Memphis as an assistant. You're talking about 9 years that he spent in the NBA in a grit and grind defensive style system that featured 2 all-star caliber big men. That is why Dave Yeager has the mentality that he has and has coached in the NBA and coached the Sacramento Kings over the last 2 years in the way that he has. That doesn't mean he can't adapt. That's just why he's been implementing the systems that he has been implementing. But let me introduce you and let me run through some of the things about Dave Yeager that we forget about and some things that are in his biography. You can read his full biography and his whole staff profile on the Sacramento Kings page, or you can look him up on Wikipedia or Basketball Reference. But I wanted to share a little more in detail about Dave Yeager's pre-NBA coaching career. Prior to entering the NBA ranks, Yeager won accolades as one of the most successful minor league coaches in history, plodding VE teams to championships in 3 different basketball leagues in 7 systems. From 2000 to 2007. He demonstrated strong player development skills. He spent 18 of his players to the NBA during his time in the minor leagues. 18 players. Like, it's ridiculous. And that was before the G League, which is more accepting of G League to NBA talent. Before 2-way contracts, Dave Yeager developed 18 G League, D League, minor league talented players up to the NBA level. That's unprecedented. By the time he was hired by the Grizzlies as an assistant coach in 2007, Yeager had collected titles in the NBA Development League, CBA, which is the Continental Basketball Association, and IBL, International Basketball Association. So before the NBA, Yeager coached in 3 different leagues, and he's won championships in 3 different leagues. Continuing on, before earning his first NBA assistant coaching job with the Grizzlies, Yeager gained fame as head coach of the 2007 NBA Development League champion Dakota Wizards. Dakota's 2007 championship marked Yeager's 5th as a head coach after winning 1 International Basketball Association IBA title and 3 more in the Continental Basketball Association. Yeager also owns 2 CBA Coach of the Year awards in 2002 and 2004. And a head coaching record of 232 wins and 117 losses in the minor leagues. Yes, it's minor league. Yes, that's not NBA, but that is a brush it under the rug dismissive statement that doesn't give credit where credit is deserved. 232 wins, 117 losses. That's a win percentage of 66%. That is what Dave Yeager brings to the NBA, and that is with developmental talent. So he's been able to do that and be successful with developmental talent. The Sacramento Kings right now have good pieces that are promising and hopefully stars in 2 years to come. But what does that mean they are right now? As talented as they are developmental talent. Now, are the Kings going to win a championship this year? Probably not. I would go as far as to say, of course they won't. But Dave Yeager has shown a history and a consistency to be able to succeed and do well and develop talent the right way with young pieces that have the ability or have the potential, that's the right word, to become NBA level talent or greater. Dave Yeager has had success in the past with young players, molding them the right way. And that, you can't do that. You can't win all those championships that I just listed off. You can't win 66% of your games in a G League and in other leagues that are consistently players coming and going. You don't have the same roster in those leagues. It's like college. You don't have those same rosters every single year for a 10-year stretch. He didn't build a dynasty in the CBA that helped him win those championships and those Coach of the Year awards. He didn't. He had alternating rosters, talent coming in and out, and he developed systems and worked them into systems that were successful. That's what Dave Yeager has done his entire coaching career. If you want to just look at NBA, he hasn't had to do that so much because he's consistently had big men talent to build around. Yes, the NBA is going away from that. So give Yeager the opportunity, and I believe based off of his pedigree and his history, that he is going to be able to recognize the strengths of this roster right now that are so clearly not Zach Randolph. Those strengths are clearly De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Harry Giles, Marvin Marvin Bagley, Willie Cauley-Stein running the floor, pushing the tempo, transition offense, high effort defense. That is the perceived strengths of this team. I promise you, Dave Yeager is smart enough, smarter than all of us combined. He is going to know how to emphasize those strengths and how to work them into the system, not just that benefits each and every single one of their individual games, but that will benefit their game as a whole and what they can be as a whole. The Kings don't have a definitive star yet. We hope to see one by the end of this season. So how do teams without definitive all-stars survive and play well and succeed? They play as a unit. They play well together. Very similar to what the Atlanta Hawks did a number of years ago when they won the Eastern Conference. That is what Dave Yeager is going to be trying to do this season, implementing a system that emphasizes the strengths of his young talent, of his potential stars, but gets them to play well together, grow well together, and develop into a core that maybe 2 or 3 years down the road can be competing for an NBA championship. I have full confidence in Dave Yeager's ability to do that. My question is, do you? How confident are you in head coach Dave Yeager going into next season? Let me know on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I want to hear those responses. We're going to carry this conversation throughout the week. I want to know how confident you are in head coach Dave Yeager because he has my full support. I believe this year can be a great eye-opening year for him. And if he's able to really get and pull out the competitiveness and the strengths and the raw talent in so many of these young players that the Kings have, I think we can be pleasantly surprised with how many games this team can win, how competitive they can be. If he does that, in my opinion, this is why I'm the optimist, Kings are winning more than 30 games this season. That is my call. And that is my guess. I'm throwing that out there for you to either rip me to shreds or agree with me. So let me know what you think at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I shared a little bit with you last week about what is going to be called the Blind Optimist Challenge. Now, I mentioned, for those of you that are new, I work at Sports 1140 KHDK as an on-air host. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. There, I've been gratefully deemed a blind optimist by many. I am a very positive guy. I have a very positive outlook on the Sacramento Kings pretty much on a yearly basis. That doesn't mean I am numb to the struggles and the pains of disappointment and of losing seasons. I'm just as impatient and just as tired of bad years and just as yearning for playoffs as so many other fans are here in Sacramento. But I'm more than willing to give the Kings the benefit of the doubt and try and find the positives and look for the bright side in what they're doing on a yearly basis. A lot of times that's hard. Right now it's a lot easier than so many fans are making it out to see. I'm very positive and excited in the direction that the Sacramento Kings are going. I like that they've been on a clear plan since trading DeMarcus Cousins. Whether you like the moves that they've been making or not, I know I've gone out there and been hard on those that have just trashed Vlade and trashed the Kings for not taking, or for taking Marvin Bagley and for not taking Luka Doncic. I understand those. I am not in that pessimist kind of negative or struggling group that struggles really on a nightly basis to find something to be excited about and positive about this team. I'm not saying you're any worse of a fan for having that mentality. In fact, that mentality can be expected for a team that spent 12 plus years outside of the NBA playoffs. But my approach has always been a positive approach. Well, we have many a host on KHDK that have the negative approach to this team, as do most of the national media members, as do most people that look at the Kings and don't really look at and love individual pieces or try and search for and find the positives in a way that I do. So I was labeled on KHDK in a friendly, fun way, a blind optimist. So I'm doubling down on that. We're starting in October what's going to be called the Blind Optimist Challenge. And the way this is going to work is I'm going to be betting or making little wagers against the pessimistic fans out there. I'm going to be putting my neck on the line to back up what I say and to put even more faith in this Kings team that maybe hasn't earned it, but it'll be more fun and it'll help carry me and other, hopefully, optimists through. So the way the Blind Optimist Challenge is going to work, I will give you an example of what is going to happen. Opening night, the Sacramento Kings are hosting the Utah Jazz on October 17th, I believe it is. I will put out a Blind Optimist Challenge about a week before that happens on KHDK and on KHDK.com, and even here on the Locked On Kings podcast. For example, the Blind Optimist Challenge for opening night may be the Sacramento Kings are going to beat the Utah Jazz. It probably will be a little more specific than that, but let's just say that's what it is. Then, on social media and on KHGK.com, pessimists or any listeners or any fans can pitch punishments. And what that means is you can throw out forfeits, penalties, or challenges that I have to do should I lose my bet. Then what happens is listeners, after a few are selected, listeners will then get to go to KHGK.com and go to social media and vote on which one I will have to do if the Kings lose the challenge. So let's say that listeners pitch a bunch of different ones and all of you vote that I have to, in the middle of wintertime, jump in the Sacramento River in nothing but a Speedo and swim around in there for 10 minutes while it's freezing cold and raining outside. Let's say that's the punishment, right? If the Kings then lose on opening night to the Utah Jazz, that is what I have to do. We will record it. We will put it up on KHDK.com. I'll let you know how you can find it here on Locked On Podcast Network. And the idea behind it is if we win, if the Kings win, then everybody wins. I don't have to do the punishment. We're all happy because the Kings win the game and we win our bet. If we lose, then, you know, you pessimists get to celebrate. It's a little more fun at the expense of me, har har, whatever. But damn it, I believe in the Sacramento Kings team, so I think it will be fun, and I don't think I'm going to be losing nearly as much as I'm going to be winning. These challenges will be thrown out periodically throughout the season, depending upon different matchups, different games. I'll give you another example of one that's going to happen. When Luka Doncic comes to Sacramento, I'll put out there, like, Blind Optimist Challenge. Marvin Bagley will score more points than Luka Doncic tonight. If I win, I don't have to do a punishment. If I lose, you then select, vote on a punishment that I have to do. It's going to be fun. The rest of the KHDK hosts are going to get involved. Hopefully it's something that takes off and is fun. And ultimately, I don't have to do any punishments, which means we all win as Sacramento Kings fans. So keep an eye out for that and start thinking of little punishments and evil things that you want to do to me or you want me to do should the Blind Optimist Challenges fail. But they're not going to, because the Kings always have my back, and they always will. Also, NBA 2K is coming out very soon. I know we have some sports video gamers out there, and NBA 2K is a wonderful, easily the best NBA basketball video game out there. I am an avid NBA 2K fan. I'm an avid sports gamer. I actually have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/MattGeorgeKHDK, that you can go and you can follow right now. That is a good opportunity to see me not just game and play and play sports video games, but it's an area for us in an extended setting, a number of hours that I'll sit there and stream, play the games, and I will talk sports or talk really anything with any fans or any listeners or anybody that wants to come and just get into more extended face-to-face type conversations with me. That is a great opportunity to do it. So if you want to get involved in that and stop by the Twitch channel and be able to have deeper conversations, maybe you want to talk more in detail about what I said about Coach Jaeger today, or maybe you want to talk more in detail about the Kings starting lineups or anything sports related, that is a good opportunity to go and do that, and I would love to see you there. I stream not very consistently. I don't really have a schedule out, but I'll let you know via social media at MattGeorgeKHDK. I'll let you know when I'm going to be streaming, when I'm not, but expect a lot of streams when NBA 2K comes out. And speaking of when NBA 2K comes out, I'm probably going to be doing an NBA 2K giveaway here on Locked On Kings podcast, so keep your eye out for that. Any sports gamers out there that may want to get your hands on a free copy of NBA 2K, I'll let you know ways that we can do that here very shortly on the Locked On Podcast Network. So many of you have been leaving great reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher. Thank you so much for doing that. For those who haven't, it only takes a quick second, helps us out a lot. Leave out of a 5-star review and then leave a little blurb of what you like or don't like about the podcast, any improvements that you want to have, any comments you have about me or anything like that. It's all fair game. It helps us improve, so please do that if you get a second. That is going to do it for us here today. I look forward to having you back here on Locked On Kings on Wednesday. More great stuff coming throughout this week. We're edging ever closer to the start of September, which is the start of training camp. It's right there. It's right over the horizon. So stick it out with me. We're getting through the down period. We're getting through the dry spell. And once we get through, it'll be oh so sweet basketball heaven on the other side. I can't wait to have you back here on Wednesday. So I will see and talk to you then. Check me out on Twitch again if you want to join that conversation. Twitch.tv or twitch.tv/MattGeorgeKHDK. Also on social media, hit me up at any time at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me, mgeorge@sanclocalmedia.com. Have yourself yourselves a wonderful Monday, and I hope you had yourselves a safe weekend. Have a good Tuesday as well, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.